What is up, internet? Welcome to another episode of the Team Ability No Excuses podcast, bringing real talk to disability with no excuses. Chad, Andy, and Brett sitting around and ready to rant once again. How's it going, boys?
Good.
I'm good. Good evening, gentlemen.
Andy has a lot to say tonight. Good. He says good. How's it going? Good.
Well, I mean, I'm good. It's Father's Day.
It is. Yeah, well, we should say we are taping on Father's Day. We don't actually know when it'll make air. Andy's been pretty good at the turnaround time lately. But happy Father's Day, gentlemen. And I was chatting with Brett before we hit the air here. If you've been listening, and again, thank you for going back and checking out all those old episodes. The very first time we had Brett on the show, of course, he's no longer a friend of the show, but now a regular. We established that on the last times that we recorded. But the first time that we had Brett on, he told his story of losing his dad. And I just was like, oh, man, I was all ready to talk about how awesome Father's Day was. And now I'm a big jerk because Father's Day must be very, very different for you, Brett. So was it a melancholy day, or what was your day like, bud?
You know, it wasn't too bad. Yesterday, we went to visit my brother and sister-in-law down near London. It is my niece's fourth birthday on Tuesday, so we went and celebrated that. Today was Father's Day, so we got a taste of celebrating Father's Day with my brother. And then I left London around 11:30, took my time coming home. Went to the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame just because I'd never been there before. It's a bucket list item. And then I went down to the cemetery when I got closer to home. So
full disclosure, without infringing on the impact of you saying that you went to the cemetery, I'm going to sound like an ignorant guy here, but I did not know that the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame was a thing. I had no idea. Makes sense, though.
Yeah, no, the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame is located in St. Mary's, Ontario. If anybody really likes baseball, I mean, I'm not even a great big baseball fan, but stuff like that is on my bucket list. Cooperstown, obviously, for the National Baseball Hall of Fame, and stuff like Stanley Cup Finals if the Leafs ever decide that they want to make it.
Sorry, couldn't hold that. Couldn't hold that in.
I think the last time the Habs won the Stanley Cup was 1993, which seems like a lifetime ago. So, but yeah, I went down to the Baseball Hall of Fame on my way back, and then to the cemetery. And there was a sign out in front of the cemetery that there were quote unquote wet conditions. So I decided not to get out of my car and risk being covered in mud on my way back into the car, and just sat there and reflected for a good hour, and then came home.
Wow. Makes our Father's Day a little bit different. I guess perspective is everything, man, I suppose. But Andy, what did your day look like with Maya?
What did my day look like with Maya? So I got Maya up, as I do every day. Today she was up around 6, I want to say. So I get about an hour with her on the weekends because Amanda gets to sleep in. So that means I get more time with Maya, which is awesome. And obviously she had no idea it was Father's Day. She wanted to jump and she wanted to race. So two things that I'm not very good at, but she didn't care. She
beat you in both of those things.
Yeah, and she's pretty proud of it. Like, she knows already that she...
She rubs it in your face?
Yeah.
What a little jerk.
You ever say that again, I'll punch you in the face.
But it sounds like she takes after her father, so it's all good.
Yeah, 100%. So that was good.
Excellent. My wife worked a 12-hour day shift. She is in the middle of a stretch of six 12-hour shifts in a row. I don't even know how that's legal. She is scheduled for fours and fives, so 4/12s on and then 5 days off. She picked up two overtime shifts, so now it makes six in a row. So she was working today, so I had my guys to myself, and we ventured over to Jungle Hut, which is an indoor playground. Not my forte, because again, climbing is not my thing, but the kids loved it, so that was good. And then we made our way home.
So obviously you have to bus it, right? Is that correct? Chad?
Yes, sorry, that is absolutely correct. That is a thing that happens. Sorry, I had my mute button on there, guys, to try to minimize background noise. Normally I would have to bus it. This indoor play place is one bus away, so it's the closest to the house. Today, however, I managed to not bus it. My father offered us a ride, being Father's Day, and then was able to actually grab us on the way back from dropping my mom off to see my grandma, who is now 93 years old, 94 in October, and has just recently been moved into a long-term care facility. So mom was going there to visit her. Dad swung us by the play place and then picked us up on his way back. So it was actually quite convenient.
So you made your dad chauffeur you around on Father's Day?
I did. And the night before, this is how much I love my dad, and therefore how much my dad loves me, I suppose. The night before, last night, I had a pub gig here in the city, and dad was my roadie from 8 to 11, helping me lug gear and set up and tear down and all that stuff, which I'm sure he loves to do at 66 years old.
Wow, you're a jerk.
I am an absolute jerk, Brett Wills. You are correct. Excellent, excellent. Anything interesting happened this week before we get to talking points this week? Anything worth noting for the entire internet?
Sorry, I have a new boss on Monday.
Starting this Monday?
Yep.
Wow. Do you know who this is?
Have not met him. Just have read his credentials in the inter-office email that was sent out. And I don't know how to feel.
I was going to say, are you excited? Nobody knows this person coming in?
Nobody knows who this person is, and my current boss will be placed on afternoons starting early August. So it's there's some shuffle there. And to be honest with you, I'm a little frustrated with it, but I go with the whole saying that Rome wasn't built in a day, and so I got to continue to pay my dues in order to move up within the company. And if I get kicked in the teeth, not by Crystal, but if I get kicked in the teeth once or twice while this transition is happening, then it is what it is. So
we should maybe back up, because I don't know. I don't think that made air. We have a tendency to rant before we start taping. I was telling the guys the story of my wife, for whatever reason, one day was trying to throw a roundhouse kick over top of my head. Of course, I'm a wheelchair user, so she's twice my size. She was trying to throw a roundhouse kick over top of my head for some reason that I can't remember. And she missed and got me right in the jaw, and it hurt badly. She calls it an accident, although the more I revisit it, I'm not entirely sure that it was.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. This is the first time I've heard this story. I'm pretty sure you did something to piss her off. So she was like, I'm going to try to kick over your head. And she just kicked you in the face.
And actually kicked you in the face. Yeah, it landed flush. I watch a fair bit of MMA, and it caught the button, as they say, in the UFC.
Fantastic. I was off. I was off last week, which is one reason why the podcast is not up yet. But my family lives in Pittsburgh, so we just took an extended weekend, I guess is the easiest way to say it, down there. And
how long's your drive, Andy?
4 hours. If we have to stop because Maya needs a play break, then it's about 5 hours. But
I was trying to factor in the age of your little one there in terms of the overall length of the trip. You do most of the driving, or Amanda does, or?
She doesn't like the way I drive, so usually she'll drive. But
Chad, you've been in the car with Andy. How does he drive?
I love Andy's driving, but anyone's better than me.
Well, we split it, but sometimes she'll just want to get there. So, like, to split it, obviously, we'll have to stop, right?
Yeah.
So, and the time we were down before this, Maya discovered McDonald's play places.
Yes.
So, after she woke up from her nap, she kept saying Donald's. So,
yeah. So you had. Did you have to oblige? Did you have to find the nearest Don's, as my high school students call it?
No. I told her it burnt down. So.
Sorry, honey. McDonald's have all burned down. There are no more McDonald's left. Now, because I'm speaking as a parent. My kids went through that fascination with those wonderfully sanitary McDonald's play places as well. Does Maya want you guys to go in with her and help with the climbing and do all that? And does Amanda take one for the team there or what?
Yeah, not really. She, as long as she can see one of us or both of us, she's pretty good.
I think I may have told this story on a previous episode, but I decided one day not too long ago to venture down to that same play place on the bus route with just Colby. And that was a situation where I quickly discovered that I can't do that anymore with just him. I've got to have somebody in there with him to keep eyes on him, because this was a big indoor play place. And he's great. But again, it was sometimes I would lose sight and then you start panicking. And I'm literally just stuck there watching. And then, you know, heaven forbid having to ask another parent to help out. And it's a weird situation. So I quickly decided that I would only ever do it again if I had another one of my kids that were able to go in that maze of chaos with him.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, it was good. We had Christmas in June, 'cause we tried to go down a few times, like the whole family. And, it just never happened because of winter weather.
It was a rough one this year, yeah. So you made Christmas happen in June.
Yeah, my.
Well, in that case, a belated Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Thank you. Yeah, my grandma is she's one of a kind. I'll say that. So she was not letting us get away with not having Christmas.
You know what? It sounds like it runs in the family, though.
What's that?
You're one of a kind as well.
Yeah, you could say I get a few traits from Annabelle, and I don't shy away from that, so that's fine. But one of the things we did, man, and you guys will appreciate this, there's a children's museum in Pittsburgh. So we went my family lives actually about an hour outside of Pittsburgh. I always say Pittsburgh just because it's easier to tell people.
It's like saying Hamilton is Toronto to Americans.
Well, the proximity is the same. Yeah.
Yes. So,
anyways, so there's a children's museum in Pittsburgh. So we went, and I was actually really impressed with the accessibility of it. Not only just to like get in the building, but the majority of the exhibits and structures were also made with wheelchairs in mind, which I thought was really cool.
It's fantastic. So,
like, if kids go there with a field trip or whatever, kids in wheelchairs won't be left out, right? So I thought that was really cool. So
that's really rad. Kids who use wheelchairs, not kids in wheelchairs. We want to be very politically correct. I'm just kidding.
I believe I actually said kids with wheelchairs.
I don't. Which... Yeah, fair enough. You win. Shout out to the great city of whatever, Pennsylvania. It's not Pittsburgh. What's it? What is it?
No, this was in Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay. So. Well, Pittsburgh represent, I suppose. That's pretty cool. Yeah, that's fantastic to have those kind of barrier-free environments so that, you know, you're not stuck, especially like you said, in a class trip environment. The rest of your friends are off doing something and you can't. That sucks. All right, flipping the script, maybe we should mention something that made some news. Brett, you brought it to both of our attention. I had to go look it up after you sent us the tweet or whatever social media it was. But I think it bears talking about, and that is the young lady, Ally Stroker, I believe her name is, that just won some big awards. So go ahead and set it up for us, Brett, because you were the one that came across it, and I think it bears there's some talking about on a podcast where we're trying to bring light to disability. So go ahead, Bretsky.
So I guess I started following this woman named Ally Stroker on Instagram or Facebook. No, it had to have been Instagram because it was over a year ago and I didn't have Facebook activated over a year ago. But so over Instagram and but she's a beautiful young lady with a disability and extremely talented. She's a singer, and recently she won a Tony Award for a musical that she's participating in on Broadway. And full disclosure, she has a disability. She's in a wheelchair, and I just found that it was really, really neat.
So as soon as I saw the picture, you had emailed or sent it out. Since it sent it out via Twitter, maybe we should talk about this this week on the podcast. And I clicked the link, and I immediately recognized the young lady. And here's where you guys can laugh at me if you want. But she was on season 2 of a show called The Glee Project. Back when Glee was a thing, I used to watch it because I thought it was funny, and because I like music and all that stuff. And what The Glee Project was a reality show to find new cast members for Glee. And I remember watching the season that she was in. And I was immediately interested in the idea of casting her because she had a disability. She's also a fantastic singer. And I mean, the Tony Award clearly proves that, the fact that she was able to secure a role on Broadway, which is historic enough, being a full-time wheelchair user. If I'm not mistaken, she had a car accident early in life that caused a spinal cord injury. And that's which necessitates the chair for her. To back up, if you remember Glee, there was a character in a wheelchair, if you ever watched that show, named Artie. And the character was in a wheelchair, but the actor wasn't. And that, for some reason, fired me up from the beginning. Because maybe it was because, you know, I was a singer. Not that I thought I could be on Glee, but I thought, you can't find anyone who sings who actually uses a wheelchair that could be on this show.
I think that happens more than you realize when you're watching TV shows. But that's just a side point. Anyways,
yeah, no, definitely. You're probably right, Andy. And so, yeah, I didn't even realize that the actor who played the character of Artie could walk until I saw him on, like, Ryan Seacrest or Regis or some other show, and he walked out, and I'm like, oh, man, that fires me up, because I had thought that they had actually cast a wheelchair user for the show. Anyways, they go to this reality show. She kills it because she's so good. She's a fantastic singer. And she finishes in second place on the show. And like I said, it was a reality show from the producers of Glee. So the winner would receive a guest spot on a full season and have a regular character in for the whole next season. She just misses out. But then they ended up casting her. And here's where it got awesome, is they cast her as Artie's romantic interest in the show. Right? So further proof that, you know, people in wheelchairs need to be romantically interested in other people in wheelchairs. But she ended up being on that show, and that's where I knew her from. So when I saw that picture and then went on to read that she had obviously, once Glee was canceled, she had gone back into musical theater and immediately made history in the first place from being on a Broadway stage as the first person as a wheelchair user to be on a Broadway stage, and then to go that much further and win a high-profile award, if I'm not mistaken, and I don't have my computer in front of me, but I'm pretty sure it was Best Actress in a Leading Role or like a significant Tony Award that this young lady won, and I thought that was pretty fantastic.
All right, so I don't know the Tony Awards. I don't follow the Oscars. I don't do award shows. I can't be bothered to pay attention. I don't care. So, but I will say my boss will Every year she goes to New York, and she does with a couple friends of hers. She does what they call the Tony Tour. So all the shows that are up for Tony Awards, they take, like, I don't know, an extended weekend and go see all the shows that are up for Tony Awards. Anyways, when she came back, she told me about Allie, and she was like, Andy, she's going to win, right? Like, she's fantastic. So that's my extent of knowledge about the Tony Awards, about this young lady. But I will say, I kind of want to check out Oklahoma, because I don't know, like, how do they integrate the wheelchair? You know what I mean?
That's a wonderful question. It's like the first thing that I thought, and I haven't seen too many shows, musical theater. While I enjoy it, being a musician, I just haven't gone to watch a lot of shows, certainly not Oklahoma. But I am very curious as to how they incorporated the chair into the role. Absolutely. I can back up a little bit to bring some personal perspective. I have to take you guys back to ninth grade for this one, so bear with me. But I'm entering high school, and I've been singing since I was 5, 6. The only people that told me I was good were my parents, so I didn't believe it until teachers started telling me. And so in grade 9, I start singing more in high school because there's the opportunities to do that. And we were casting at the time in grade 9. They were casting a show called Fiddler on the Roof. And I thought, okay, I'm going to go audition. So I prepped this song, and I went and did the audition. And I did the audition, and I thought the audition went really well. And then the next day, I met with the casting director, who was brought in from our brought in from outside of the school. So it was run, the musical was run by our music department, but the casting director was brought in from outside of the school. So I'm brought in by the casting director, who says, we're going to put you in the chorus of the show. And I was like, that's awesome. I'm really excited about that. The chorus would be like the background singers. And then this casting director, and this, again, I'm 14 years old, so I, like, it's one of those memories that stuck in your head. He said, yeah, talent-wise, you were good enough for a lead, but I don't know how we could incorporate your chair into the show. And he said, if we put you into the chorus, we can make you like the village grandfather, and we'll get you like an old-fashioned wheelchair, and you'll be wheeled on and off stage when it's time to sing. And I was like, yeah, right? So that's when I quit the show.
Oh, you quit straight out. You didn't even do the chorus.
I did. No, I just was like, no, I don't want any part of that. I didn't, everything about that rubbed me the wrong way. So it's interesting because as you're telling the story of how they would have incorporated her chair into the role, that's where my head went, was, you know, back to the, and again, Fiddler on the Roof, for sort of historical perspective, takes place, it's a Hebrew show, and it takes place during wartime with the Russians. So like early 1900s. So, I mean, I get it. Like, they didn't have the technology of modern wheelchairs that existed in the historical time period, but still, to be told that I was going to be made the village grandfather and wheeled on and off stage, and I couldn't even do that myself. I was just like, no, I'm not having any part of that.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. I thought you were going to talk about the time, that you auditioned for Canadian Idol, but you went with Fiddler on the Roof. So,
yes, I have done the Canadian Idol thing too. It's it's interesting because you wonder, I am not. She's insanely talented and gorgeous, as Brett was saying. She got everything going for her. But there will, I think for me, maybe I'm cynical, there will always be that part of me that says, "Did you just win this because?" You know, I don't know. I'm probably just being cynical, but maybe I need to get it out. But I mean, honestly, I even have those moments with myself as I'm performing. I'm like, do people just think I'm better than I am because I'm a novelty act? Like, is that, you know, am I just, not just, but am I the singer with the wheelchair? You know what I mean? And am I as good as I think I am, as good as people say I am when they say their nice words and buy me the drinks. And thank you for that. If you're listening, I had a couple come my way last night, so I appreciate it. But, you know, are you just doing it because I'm the guy that sits down?
I think for you, absolutely. I know your crowd. So, yeah, I don't think you're that good. I think people
– Thanks, man.
Yeah. 100% true. Obviously, I'm kidding a little bit, sort of.
A little bit. So to back up there, and Andy knows, again, literally Andy and I have grown up together. And if you've listened to the old episodes, you know that we met each other, I think, from the time we were 6, 7, 8 years old, we knew each other. So in high school, those same sort of apps. So after, it was a couple of years after this fiddler experience, it never stopped me from wanting to sing and perform. And I kept sort of pursuing that in high school. I am blessed to work at a fantastic high school with a fantastic music program, which was just getting started when I was a student. And so there were opportunities to perform. And when Canadian Idol came to town, not even came to town, but they held auditions in Toronto, I thought, I'm going to go do this because I want to know if I can do this. And that was a real big eye opener to the Hollywood aspect of the production that goes into that. And Canadian Idol hasn't been on for quite a while. American Idol was off the air and is now back. And now we have The Voice and all these other shows. But I can only speak for Canadian Idol for how they did things. We literally overnighted in line to audition. So it is exactly what you see on TV, these huge lines. And we camped, we set up tarps. So myself and a friend of mine who is a vocal teacher at another high school in the area now, we went down together and we decided to do this together to see if we could do it. And we camped overnight and got a great spot for the audition so that we would be seen earlier. And then I was sort of shocked to find out that before you make it to the TV judges, you have to audition 3 times for various producers of the television show, which, I mean, now that I'm older, it makes a lot of sense. But what wasn't encouraging was if you've watched any of those shows, you know that there are some very bad auditions that they air. And so those are situations where those people have been told already 3 times to get to the television judges that they're good enough. And basically just to get to the television judges so that it can be filmed and laughed at. And so that was a big eye opener there. I didn't end up making it to the TV judges. I did my first audition and that was it. I don't know. I don't know the reasons behind it, if the chair had anything to do with it or if I just wasn't good enough vocally. I don't know. I'm probably one of the most positive people in the world, but it sort of doesn't go away. And I guess that's probably the same for anybody, you're sort of measuring up against anyone else competition-wise. But yeah, it'll sort of always be there. It'll sort of always be there for me, that whole am I good enough or is it just – not that I'm a novelty act, because I think that's a really harsh thing to say, but is it just – or am I that much better because of this? You know, do you feel better for me because of this? Or, and it's not a pity thing. It's just, look what that guy does. And I like that it's become motivation for some people sometimes. Like you said, Andy, you know, no excuses, right? If this guy can do it, I need to get my ass up and go do it too. So there's value in that. But I think it's always something that'll sit in the back of my head.
Well, I think your body of work speaks for itself, and I'm not by any means trying to pump your tires, like, but
literally or figuratively,
right?
So, where's your head at? To sort of bring it back full circle here to Ali Stroker and her big win for the disabled community, Bretzky, are you just being a champion for her and just saying she killed it and she earned it and that's all there is to it? Or do you think, and again, I hate coming across sounding like such a cynical jerk, but I have to always wonder I'd have to watch her performance actually objectively as a musician and just watch her kill it. And I'm sure she absolutely did. But again, it's always going to be there. Did she? Yes, it's awesome. And it's incredible that somebody finally made that call we're going to cast her because she's the best option, regardless of whether she's sitting down or not. And it's awesome to see her win that award. But where's your head at towards it? Because Andy and I have been doing a lot of talking.
Well, I think when you go back and you maybe talk about her original audition for the musical, she had to have killed it. There was absolutely no way, in my opinion, that she would not have had to kill it, based on the fact that us with, as persons with a difference of ability, again,
we have to get that in on every episode. That's fantastic.
And it's so hard because I don't want to say it because I'm very not PC, but I just think that she had to have killed it because I'm sure the casting agents looked at her originally and said, whispered to themselves, do we really want this to happen? And that's very cynical, and it's terrible because it makes us as persons with a difference of ability look like we can't do shit.
Yeah, right.
But I got to be honest, man. I'm a little surprised at your pushback, Chad, about the is it legit? Because in a very similar way, I think you have to overcome those obstacles being a teacher, right?
Like, sure, man. Absolutely. So
I'm a little bit surprised at how much you're pushing back, but
You know what, Andy? You got a point, right? You got a point. Again, I think I'm maybe coming across as more cynical than I mean to be about this, but you know, you could take that in the same perspective to anybody in any profession, and you could absolutely throw it back in my face and say that I'm only where I'm at because, you know, it looks good on the school board to hire a teacher with a wheelchair. So, we have covered a lot of ground tonight. We've been all over the place, but we do want to wrap up, as we always do, with the offside moment where we, again, channeling our love for hockey, using that word offside, but just the stuff that has grinded our gears, if you will, or caught our attention over the week or maybe something that we've just recalled. I think Andy's got the offside. I usually don't like we talk about it in before we start hit record. Sometimes I don't even like knowing about it because I like to be generally surprised. So I have no idea what's coming next. What do you got for us for the offside this week, Andy?
So not your show yesterday, or not your latest show, but anyways, I was coming back from one of your shows at your favorite Irish establishment that
yes, which is not Irish, but anyways.
And I was driving home. I knew I was driving, so I had a drink, and I go to get off my exit. Sure enough, there's a ride program, and I'm not worried about it at all. I had one drink, and stayed for most of your show, if not the whole thing, right? So that's that's a few hours. And I roll up to the officer, and he said, we're just doing a ride program. And I said, okay, cool. And he said, yeah, have you had anything to drink? And I said, yeah, I had a beer. And he goes, okay, well, how long ago? And I said, oh, it's a few hours at least. My buddy was playing a show. As he's moving in to ask me more questions, he notices my hand controls, and he says, what are these? And before I could answer, he said, oh, you drive with hand controls? And I said, yes, sir. And all he said from there was, oh, you're good. Have a good night. Right? So,
I love that.
I don't necessarily know if it's offside because he wasn't. There was nothing offensive about what he did.
And this is what I love about these offside moments. We've shared these before on previous episodes. It's like, what did you mean? Like, what, where were you going with that? Like, well, no, you've got enough problems already. You can keep driving home. Like.
Yeah, man, I've been stopped by ride programs before, and, like, there's a little bit more of a back and forth, right, where I'll just be like, oh, I have hand controls and whatever, but, like, just the way he was like, oh, you're good, I love that.
I love that. You're good. Why? Yes. Yes, I am. Thank you. You know, like what?
Yeah. It was, yeah. I obviously didn't question him. I just said, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to circle back up and have a few more drinks if like,
yeah, you know seriously, I mean? Right. Like, oh my goodness. I just don't get it. Like, was it not worth his time to ask more questions?
I'm kind of looking towards your take on it, where he's just like, well, this guy wouldn't do anything to mess up his life worse. Like,
right?
You know what I mean? Like,
you're already screwed. Keep driving, son. You know, like,
there's no way this guy would drive. Like,
oh my goodness. All right. Well, yeah. Who knows where that one is coming from? That's why they're the offside moments. Thanks again, everyone, for checking us out. Hopefully, you got a few laughs, learn a few things. Maybe, probably. I don't. Who knows? But we appreciate the support nonetheless. You can go back and listen to all the old episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, however you are listening, on whatever podcatching device you happen to be listening. We deeply appreciate all of your support. This has been another episode of the Team Ability No Excuses podcast. Boys, say goodnight. Let's call it a day. Say goodnight. I don't know what to say. Brett, say goodbye.
Good night, Mr. Pilon. Good night, Mr. Miller.
All right. Andy, stay classy, son.
Yeah. See you.
Take care, guys.